I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Yeah, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
It is time for the Drive to the Close. Jim Russell is back with us, Principal and Portfolio Manager at Ball & Gaynor. They've got over $38 billion in assets under management. Jim with us on the phone from Cincinnati. Jim, wild day, didn't necessarily start maybe how we expected with that emergency move and surprise move by the Federal Reserve. Although the market's safe to say yesterday were anticipating it. How do you read kind of where we are and to see the market, you know, ending the day in the red?
Yeah, Carol, thanks for having me on again. I guess our read would be this. We view the current situation as really two important crises that are taking place at the same time. Number one is a public health crisis. I think everybody's aware of the spread of the coronavirus globally and maybe increasingly in the United States. That is a separate issue from maybe what we're talking about today. The second, of course, is the economic impact of the supply shock. This is increasingly moving beyond travel, hotels, restaurants, and other things, and perhaps resulting in transportation limitations, meeting cancellations, slowdowns across the board. So the market, of course, fears a recession on a global basis and here in the United States, and that's what the S&P 500 and, importantly, the fixed income markets are responding to as well.
Well, and we should note that we are seeing stocks here in the U.S. taking a leg down here in the last few minutes of trading today on a Tuesday. They had been hovering around down 2% or so for the last hour at least. And now as we get to the close, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, all hovering around down around 3%. So we've obviously got about 9 minutes or so until the close of trading. So we'll see where we end up.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Jim, so how do you put this in perspective with some of the other, you know, pullbacks that we've seen and 10% corrections that we've seen in the equity universe, certainly since the financial crisis?
Right. We would categorize it as slightly different and somewhat unique. Some of the other pullbacks that we have seen, Carol, have been led by the credit markets, meaning a blowout in high yield spreads to the U.S. Treasury. High yield bonds are trading a little bit higher and spreading out a little bit from U.S. Treasury securities, but they're following equities down as opposed to leading equities down. So right now, we think this is an emotional anticipatory move by the equity markets that are anticipating, candidly, the slowdown in U.S. businesses, earnings cuts, GDP cuts, global slowdown, and of course the supply disruptions in China. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's our understanding that China seems to be getting some degree of their hands around this issue in China, and perhaps even getting back to work to some degree. That, of course, does not mean that South Korea, Europe, the Middle East, and certainly the United States are out of the woods. I think it continues to be a growing problem in some of these other non-Chinese geographies, and will continue to be worse rather than better in the days ahead. So I do think that the nature of the issue is open-ended, and uncertainty is, of course, what investors are focused on. This is the classic black swan event that folks did not anticipate, could not have anticipated, and has no easy or convenient closure to it.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting to think about sort of China as the marker here, Jim, in the sense that it is a very tightly run country, to say the least, and a tightly run, state-sponsored economy in many ways, and a country that was able to enact some, I think it's fair to say, draconian measures in order to contain this. So I think it feels like that's one of the things that is continuing to worry investors here, right?
Right. We would agree. I mean, it's our understanding that 55 million people were locked down with travel curtailed, including the city of Wuhan, which is a city of 11 million people. And so these are really lockdowns and quarantines of scale and really not available or unimplementable, I think, in areas like Europe, the Middle East, and the United States.
All right, Jim Russell, thank you so much. Principal and Portfolio Manager at Ball & Gaynor on the phone from Cincinnati. So,
all right.
As you mentioned, I just want to say, you know, yeah, we're taking another leg down. We're still off our lows of the session, but we've pretty much, you know, erased a lot of the bounce back that we got on Monday.
All right. One headline, you know, just as we look at the implications of how this is playing out, especially right here in our backyard, Columbia University suspending all school-related student travel as the coronavirus spreads, encouraging others affiliated with the Ivy League school to cancel non-essential international travel. We also heard from the dean of the school. He's been on this program. Mm-hmm. He basically said they were at least exploring the notion of instruction remotely, you know, sort of moving to that and not convening classes. So a lot of contingency planning going on. You know, we heard about JP Morgan earlier doing a pretty meaningful test run in terms of folks working from home, about 10% of its consumer bank being asked to work from home and some measures being taken there in the branches.
And I think this is what's going on in the market environment. I think safe to say that, yep, the Fed was very aggressive, that emergency move, half a point cut in rates, doing that to, you know, looking at the market worries and looking at, you know, the concerns on the economy. But a rate cut in itself does not stem the flow of virus cases or stop any more breakouts. And I think until we have a better handling as a nation, what the exposure is here specifically in the United States. And I think we don't know. I've heard a lot of stories, anecdotal stories, of folks trying to access hospitals, trying to access test kits and not being able to. So until we have an idea of how much of the population potentially tests positive for the virus, we've already up to, what, 9 deaths in Washington. Until we have a better understanding of what our exposure is here in the U.S., I think it's going to be hard for investors to calm down.
Right. Well, it's a really good point because this is not a financial crisis, right? I mean, the last time we saw these sorts of actions, it was a financial crisis, which really was about financial stability. This is not a question of financial stability.
But financial market
at its
conditions
core.
Did tighten, which explains why the Fed did what it
did. I totally understand part. But the fact of the matter is that your underlying point is that the Fed can't really solve the problem of the virus, whereas the Fed could do a lot to help stabilize the financial system, which is what it was trying to do back in the financial crisis. Couple names we're going to be looking at after the close of trading, Nordstrom and HPE, both coming out with earnings. Both are going to give us a pretty interesting read, it feels like, on tech demand, but also consumer demand as well here in the United States.
At one point at the highs of the day, Nordstrom was up about 4%. Ending the day, it looks like down about 2.9% lower. And just a quick look at HPE ahead of their earnings. We'll get those after the closing bell, as Jason just mentioned. That too was up 3.4% at its highs, but it's going to finish the day, at least in the regular trade, down about 2%. But we'll break those earnings down and what you need to know about the quarter. That's coming up right here on Bloomberg Radio.